The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Gospel according to John. This comes from the Common English Bible, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, was one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Well, I've been thinking this week about why these particular readings were assigned on this particular Sunday, and what do they have to say to us at this particular moment in our lives, and particularly in the life of the church. That's actually always the task of the preacher, but sometimes these questions seem more compelling, and this week they did to me. It isn't hard to figure out why the designers of the lectionary chose the gospel reading from John. It's John's account of what happened right after Jesus' resurrection. It's the continuation of the story we heard last Sunday of Easter morning and the empty tomb. But why Psalm 133? And why the reading from Acts about people sharing everything in common? It's as if we got dropped right into the middle of both books, Psalms and Acts. Every year during the season of Easter, we read from Acts for weeks. We hear a steady stream of stories about what happened to Jesus' followers as they figured out life together following Jesus' resurrection. It seems to me that these readings ask us to think about how we are figuring out life together. As people who follow a resurrected Lord, how does our faith in Jesus manifest in our behavior, and particularly in our common life? This question is especially important for American Christians because as a culture, we are fiercely independent and think of ourselves as individuals far more often than we think of ourselves as part of a community. We even think of our faith as our individual relationship with God more than something that depends on being with other people. And Episcopalians in particular have historically thought of our faith as being private. It's between me and God. So I think it's important for us to wonder why on the first Sunday after Easter does the lectionary give us two readings about life in community. Psalm 133 verse 1 proclaims how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. Or as Eugene Peterson says in The Message, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. Well, I happen to think that living together in community is a lot more than just getting along, although sometimes even that takes a lot of work. For St. James, as sisters and brothers, as a family brought together by faith, unity is a much higher bar than just getting along. The verses from Acts give us a pretty distinct picture of the unity that they discovered. All the believers were united in heart and mind, is what the passage says. Now, being united in heart and mind does not mean that everyone thinks exactly alike, or that there were no differences among them. Being united in heart and mind actually implies that even with differences, they were able to come together to become something that was so much more than any of them could be separately. So, as an analogy, think about a painting. A painting is made up of many colors and textures and objects. But when they're all put together on one canvas, the many elements become a feast for the eye. Or think about a piece of music, what it sounds like when many instruments and voices, textures and tones and rhythms harmonize and blend. Unity doesn't happen when everything is exactly the same. Unity is a creative process of weaving together difference and variety, the end result of which is remarkable to behold. Life in community is like that, weaving together and harmonizing many perspectives, many gifts into a beautiful new creation. And it's pretty extraordinary how the early church actually did that. Listen again to this passage. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. There were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. End of quote. That sounds amazing and actually kind of unbelievable. They sold their houses to care for one another? Back in the early 1980s, Kip and I belonged to a church in Washington, D.C. that placed a really high priority on community life. We got pretty intrigued by the idea of actually living together with a small group of people, essentially our age and stage in life, sharing housing, meals, possessions, worship, and care of children. We began meeting with three other couples to pray and explore the possibility of doing something like that. After 2 or 3 years, we managed to plant a garden. But that was about it. It's hard enough for two people who get married to weave together two sets of dreams, two priorities, two ways of doing things, let alone eight adults. So what the book of Acts describes about the early church was really extraordinary. They were a diverse group of people so motivated by generosity and deep concern for one another that they appeared to let go of self-interest and fear for their own security. They trusted each other with their possessions, their well-being, their future. That's a remarkable picture. Now hold on to that for a moment, and let's turn also to the Gospel of John, because what happens there is a striking contrast to the story in Acts. Jesus appears to the disciples. Thomas is not with them. And when he hears their report, Thomas cannot trust his companions. Their word is not enough. He has to see it with his own eyes. And in fact, he didn't even trust his own eyes without actually touching Jesus' wounds. So I want to hold these two images side by side for just a moment. On the one hand, the early church, deeply dependent on one another, trusting, open, and on the other, Thomas. In one sense, disconnected and mistrusting and depending only on himself. When I hold these two images side by side, I wonder about St. James. Which one of these images describes us at this moment in time? Are we the Acts community, or are we Thomas? I want to suggest to you that we are actually a mixture of both. Sometimes we're one, sometimes we're the other, and most of the time we're a little bit of each. The outpouring yesterday, bringing food and household items for the rescue mission, was an amazing example of coming together for a common purpose. But we have our Thomas moments too, when we react like Thomas did with doubt and fear and stubborn self-sufficiency. Isn't that just so human of us? I think about this, and think about this. We are hearing these stories on the Sunday that we begin in-person worship again. This is actually a kind of resurrection for St. James. And like the disciples on that Easter day, we don't really know how we will navigate this new reality or how our lives will be changed. We have plenty of reason to be like Thomas, fearful, doubtful, wanting to hold out for certainty. It will take courage and trust for us to look more like the Acts community, to be open-hearted about wherever this journey takes us. I was talking with my coach this week, and he made what I think was a pretty important observation. He said, our process of reopening is more than being back in the church. It's about how we will be when we are back together, how we will behave, how we will care for one another, how we will be some mixture, I presume, of Acts and Thomas. What if we are extravagantly gracious with one another, deeply concerned for one another, making sure that everyone's needs are cared for, trusting each other to figure this out? These next few months are going to be a process, a journey. We can't just flip a switch and shazam, everything starts up again, easy peasy. There will be twists and turns and bumps along the way. We are all tired and impatient and missing familiar faces and longing to be back to something more normal. But there really isn't a quick and easy fix. Like the disciples on the morning of the resurrection, we find ourselves somewhere that no one expected to be, and we have things to figure out. The question is, as we proceed, what kind of community will we be? I want to suggest to you that we will be imperfect, because after all, we're tired and tired of it and stressed and still anxious about the future. So we're not going to get it right all the time. But this is a time for practicing the kind of community that Jesus taught and Jesus showed us. A community that is generous with grace, extravagant with forgiveness, patient with one another, trusting one another, willing to work things through, listening and caring, even if we don't get it right the first time. Because think about this, anything is possible. God raised Jesus to new life. We are a people of resurrection, and God is already raising us to life that we have only begun to imagine, a life that we will find together with God's help. Amen.
Wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.